Good morning, and thank you for joining us on 5 at 8. It's Sunday, March 31st, 2024, and here's Linda Carlisle and Mark Overman with today's top news. In this episode, we'll talk about how climate change may affect the measurement of time, NVIDIA's growth in the AI industry, the licensing of cultured meat in California, AT&T's investigation of a data leak, and the killing of Maxim Kuzminov in Spain. Story number one. According to NPR, climate change may affect the measurement of time, potentially leading to the need for a negative leap second. Geophysicist Duncan Agnew explains that Earth's rotation is speeding up, influenced by factors like melting ice at the poles. This could delay the need for a negative leap second until 2029. The possibility of a negative leap second poses challenges for systems and networks that may struggle to handle subtracting time. The General Conference on Weights and Measures could decide to eliminate the leap second altogether before 2035. Agnew suggests adopting a new rule to never allow a negative leap second. I gotta say, Linda, this piece about the potential negative leap second is fascinating. It's a bit of a brain bender, isn't it? How do you think global systems, particularly those in the digital realm, could handle something like this?
Well, Mark, it's definitely a complex issue. Accurate timekeeping is crucial for our digital systems. It underpins everything from financial transactions to GPS navigation to data centers. A negative leap second, essentially subtracting a second, could certainly pose a significant challenge. These systems are designed to add leap seconds, but taking away time is an entirely different matter.
Yeah, it sounds like a real-time Y2K. But can you break down why we might see a negative leap second? I mean, it's sort of mind-boggling that climate change could impact the Earth's rotation, and thus our timekeeping.
Certainly. It is indeed mind-boggling. The Earth's rotation is not as perfect as we might imagine. It's affected by a range of factors, from earthquakes to the distribution of water. Climate change plays a part because when ice melts at the poles, the Earth becomes slightly more oblong and less spherical, which slows down its rotation. It's like when an ice skater holds their arms out to slow their spin. It's these intricate changes in our planet's rotation that have potential implications for our timekeeping.
That's wild. So if this negative leap second does happen, when would we expect to see it, and how might we prepare?
Based on the current research, it might occur within the next decade, possibly around 2029. In terms of preparation, it's a tricky issue. Many of our systems can handle an additional second, but removing a second is a different story. It's a challenge that metrologists, those who study and apply the science of measurement, are closely monitoring. They're working to understand the potential risks and develop strategies to mitigate them.
Sounds like it's a race against time in a very literal sense. It's another stark reminder of how climate change affects more than just our weather patterns. Thanks for breaking it down for us, Linda.
Yes, Mark. It's a reminder of how interconnected our world truly is, from our digital systems to our physical environment. Climate change touches every aspect of our lives, often in ways we can't predict. It's a critical issue that we all need to pay attention to.
Story number two. In a report from The Guardian, Jensen Huang has turned NVIDIA into a key player in the AI industry, leading to massive growth in the company's value. His latest innovation, the Blackwell B200 chip, has solidified NVIDIA's position as a leader in the tech world. Have you ever thought about how a small company, initially producing graphics cards for gamers, can transform into one of the world's most valuable tech companies? That's something NVIDIA has pulled off, and their impact on AI is just mind-blowing.
It's a classic example of technological innovation altering the course of an industry. NVIDIA's rise to prominence was primarily due to a pivotal decision made by their founder, Jensen Huang. He saw the potential of graphics processing units, or GPUs, which were initially used for gaming to be repurposed for machine learning.
Yeah, and that was a game changer, wasn't it? Not just for NVIDIA, but for the entire tech industry. It's fascinating how they've been able to become a key player in the AI arms race.
Definitely. It's interesting to note that when Huang first made his bet on machine learning, Wall Street deemed it to be a risky move. But as the demand for machine learning grew, and the need for parallel processing machines became apparent, NVIDIA was in the perfect position to capitalize.
Right, they basically hit the jackpot and became the go-to for anyone wanting to get into the AI business. Reminds me of the gold rush, where those selling the shovels often came out on top. But Linda, what do you think about one company having so much influence over the AI infrastructure?
Well, Mark, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, NVIDIA's technology has been instrumental in advancing AI, which has the potential to greatly benefit society. But on the other, this concentration of power could lead to monopolistic behavior and stifle competition. It's a delicate balance, and one that will need careful monitoring as AI continues to evolve.
Oh, for sure, it's something we all need to keep an eye on. But regardless, NVIDIA's rise and their contributions to the tech world are nothing short of remarkable.
Agreed, Mark. It's a testament to the power of innovation and foresight in the tech industry.
Story number three. In a report from BBC, a Californian company has been granted a license to sell cultured meat, which is created from a single cell taken from an animal, such as a chicken. The meat is grown in a clean environment without harming any animals, genetic engineering, or the need to chop down trees. The company aims to produce a variety of meats, including chicken, beef, and pork, with plans to eventually create three-dimensional steaks and chicken breasts. It's really fascinating, isn't it, Linda? This concept of lab-grown or cultured meat. It's like science fiction stuff coming to life. Think about it. A world where we don't have to rely on conventional animal-rearing methods for meat production. It's a huge step forward in terms of animal welfare and environmental sustainability. In my opinion, it's a game-changer for the meat industry.
Well, Mark, while I agree that the technology behind cultured meat is truly innovative and has the potential to address some serious issues, such as animal welfare and environmental degradation, I do have some reservations. For instance, we need to consider the impact this could have on traditional farmers and the meat industry as a whole. Also, there's the question of consumer acceptance. Will people be willing to eat meat grown in a lab?
Ah, Linda, I see where you're coming from, but we need to remember that change is an integral part of progress. Yes, it may initially disrupt the traditional farming practices, but in the long run, it could lead to a more sustainable and ethical way of producing meat. As for consumer acceptance, well, it's all about education and awareness. The more people understand the benefits, the more likely they are to embrace it.
Sure, Mark, but it's also about taste, texture, and the overall eating experience. Lab-grown meat might tick all the right boxes from an ethical and environmental standpoint, but if it doesn't deliver on the culinary front, it's going to be a tough sell. People have deep-rooted cultural and personal ties to food. It's not just about filling our stomachs, it's about enjoyment, tradition, and sometimes identity.
Food is indeed intertwined with culture and identity. But, let's not forget that taste and texture are not static. They can be modified and improved. The first cell phones were bulky and had limited features. Yet look where we are now. The same can happen with lab-grown meat. It's a work in progress. We're just seeing the first steps of what could be a major shift in how we produce and consume meat.
I agree it's a work in progress, Mark. However, I believe it's essential to have these discussions and raise these questions early on in the process. It's not just about the technology itself, but also about the ethical, social, and economic implications that come with it. We must ensure that in our pursuit of progress, we don't overlook the potential consequences and challenges. It's all about balance, isn't it?
Story number four. AT&T is investigating a data leak that exposed personal information of 73 million current and former customers. The leak, discovered on the dark web, includes social security numbers, but not financial information. The company is urging customers to reset their account passcodes and offering credit monitoring. AT&T believes the leaked data is from 2019 or earlier and is working to confirm the source of the leak, as reported by CNN. What a mess, Linda. AT&T's data leak is a serious issue. I mean, personal info of 73 million customers out there in the wild. That's a nightmare. I wonder, though, how could such a large-scale data breach happen?
It's indeed a complex issue, Mark. Cybersecurity is a challenging domain, given the rapid advancements in technology. In this case, it is yet to be determined whether the data leak originated from AT&T directly or one of its vendors. This uncertainty highlights a key vulnerability in the current data protection systems. Often, corporations work with third-party vendors for various services, and each interaction point could potentially be a weak link.
Right. It's like a chain. As strong as the weakest link, eh? Now, AT&T is saying that there's no evidence of unauthorized access to its systems. But doesn't that contradict the fact that personal data of millions of customers has been leaked?
A valid point, Mark. It could suggest two things. Either the data was leaked from an internal source, which is a serious concern in itself, or the company is not yet fully aware of the extent of the breach. It's also possible that the leaked data was aggregated over time, from multiple smaller breaches that went unnoticed. This is a common occurrence, as detecting data breaches is not always straightforward.
So it's like a ticking time bomb, just waiting to explode. But let's talk about the aftermath. AT&T is asking their customers to reset account passcodes and remain alert about changes to their accounts or credit reports. They are also offering credit monitoring. Is that enough, Linda?
Well, Mark, these are standard immediate measures in the aftermath of a data breach. They aim to minimize the risk of further unauthorized access and potential financial damages. However, the real challenge is to regain customer trust. Transparency about the breach, continuous updates on the investigation, and tangible improvements in data security measures are key to achieving this. Offering reparative services such as credit monitoring is an important step, but it's only part of the solution.
You've got a point, Linda. Trust is hard to regain once it's lost. And when it comes to personal data, people are understandably sensitive. I guess it's high time corporations step up their game in data protection. Don't you think regulations should be stricter in this regard?
Stricter regulations can certainly be part of the solution. They would ensure a standard level of data protection across all companies and industries. However, regulations alone won't solve the issue. It's important for corporations to prioritize data protection, not just because of regulatory requirements, but because it's the right thing to do from an ethical standpoint.
Story number 5. In a report from the New York Times, Maxim Kuzminov, a defector from Russia to Ukraine, was killed in Spain by men who wanted to send a message of revenge. The killers used 9mm Makarov rounds, a common ammunition in the former communist bloc, and ran over his body with their car. This incident has raised concerns about Russia's spy networks in Europe targeting Kremlin enemies, despite efforts to dismantle them after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Why, this kind of thing rattles me, Linda. It's like a scene right out of a Cold War spy thriller. The audacious defection, secret documents, and finally, the brutal assassination. It's almost as if we're witnessing the resurrection of old-school KGB tactics.
It is indeed unsettling, Mark. But while we may be quick to draw parallels with the past, I think it's crucial to remember that the context now is vastly different. The geopolitical interplay between nations has evolved significantly since the Cold War era.
But Linda, don't you think it's this exact evolution that has made it possible for these spy networks to continue to thrive? They've simply adapted to the new rules of the game.
That's one way to look at it, Mark. But it also raises the question. Are we, as the international community, doing enough to dismantle these networks? Or have we actually failed to adapt to this new reality?
See, that's exactly what I'm getting at. It's one thing to condemn these incidents publicly, but quite another to actually take concrete action. Is it not time to reevaluate our strategies?
That's a fair point, Mark. However, let's also not forget the delicate balance between national security and human rights that must be maintained. It's a complex issue, and there are no easy answers.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day, and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.